Deadwood Soundwave.
Cosmic Void. I'm Biggs.
I'm Xavion.
So today we're doing Black Sheep from 2006. Okay, so I have to ask, what made you want to pick this movie? I love low budget horror movies. Like ever since, I don't know, I was a kid, my friend Brandon and I used to grab these all the time at the Playtime video that we had.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm also a big fan of low budget. Black Sheep was one of those ones I had seen years ago. I'd never seen the movie. I'd seen the trailer and I'm like, I've got to find this. But at the time, you couldn't find it anywhere because it's kind of one of those B movies where you're like, oh, I remember watching this as a child. And then you never see it as a child until you're older and you Google it and it is nowhere. So actually, thanks to you, you found it on Freevee.
Very quickly. Yeah.
So fast. And he goes, what movie is it? I was like, and not the Chris Farley movie. This is called Black Sheep and it is great. I literally saw it on a trailer and was like, I have got to see this. And so I brought it to Alex's attention and he found it right away. So.
Yeah, I can find pretty much anything on the internet at this point. If it can be found, it will be found.
Absolutely. And it was. It was like, I was like, oh, there's this movie, Black Sheep. And he's like, got it. And I was like, where is he? He's like, Freevee. Freaking hilarious movie.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And one that I didn't mind watching commercials with because of the nature of it. It mm-hmm. was fun to goof on. And so it gave me space to goof on it with Amanda. We were watching this together and usually she does not go for movies like this. She loves horror movies. She hates anything with like a comedic tinge when it's a horror movie.
Gotcha.
And it was just so ridiculous. She found herself laughing in spite of herself like quite a bit in it. It's so joyously bad.
It's raunchy and I love raunchy. Raunchy's good. I think from beginning to end, it was raunchy. You know what I mean? It just kept going.
Let me ask you a general question about the state of the movie industry right now. Do you think that we're heading back to raunchy comedies and horror movies? Because I was looking at this summer and we had a number of R-rated comedies come out and I don't think any of them really did well enough to light the industry on fire. But I am noticing on a lot of movie podcasts, there's a lot of people talking about how they want to see erotic thrillers come back, how they want to see R-rated comedies come back. It's kind of never really went away on horror, but I've noticed a lot of the raunchy horror is starting to come back a little bit.
It is, but I feel like it's got to be funny and it's got to hit good. You know what I mean? Because there's so much raunchiness. I think I brought this up to you the other day. Not a lot of people know about this movie, but Onion Movie, you know, that was a parody of many things and it had a lot of different stuff in it. I can't remember that movie, but I felt like it was funny. And same with the scary movies. I feel like if you can do it and make it raunchy and bring it back, make it funny. There's a new movie coming out, or it is out, and I really have been looking forward to watching it, and I've been looking everywhere, and it wasn't anywhere to rent even. You had to buy it for $20. It's called The Blackening, and it's a bunch of African-American people going out, and they get in a haunted house, and it's kind of their idea of what they would do in these situations. It looks raunchy and funny at the same time, and scary. I thought that looked good, but then I look at the trailer, and there's some things where I'm like, okay, I feel like I don't want to know everything in the trailer, so I want to expect it to be dumb for me to go watch it for it to be hilarious. So I feel like if you can make it funny and you can hit where everything is a joke or an insult or even something sexual, I think that it should come back. I mean, I like those movies.
I do too, and I do think that there's a way to do it where it matches the sensibility now, because I know a lot of people in particular, older people that are grouchy, like, oh, you can't say anything in movies anymore. But I just think that the line has moved and the movies that did it the best always figured out where the line was and didn't quite step over. It would come close. But that's the thing, is the line changes and you just have to be aware of where the line is. And I'll give an example here. So I went to go see No Hard Feelings, which was the Jennifer Lawrence sex comedy that came out this summer.
Yeah.
And it was really funny to me, but it was smart in the way that it positioned it. It was like, okay, so we know it's really sexist, most of these movies. Right. And so instead we're going to put a woman in the role because it changes the dynamic a bit. And then they focused more on how older millennials and young Gen Xers just cannot relate to Xennials and don't understand them. And so that was like a key part of the movie. And okay. I think it could be insulting if you like pull out sections of it. But if you look at it as a whole, it's definitely like, no, the kids are all right. Like, that's basically what it is.
But they definitely, from what I read, I never watched the movie, but they definitely pulled sections out. A lot of people were mad that a parent was hiring a woman to date their son. And I'm like, really? That's the worst something can happen? That really? That's what we're going? Like, we've seen other movies and come on now. Ted came out and you guys took your kids to that because you didn't know that Ted wasn't. Come on. That's the kind of stuff where it's like, I would watch it because I want to see the outcome. And some people weren't doing that. They were just going, oh, well, because it was a girl being hired, she's a prostitute. And I was like, well, she's not.
They definitely address it in the movie.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. But also, I don't know. It was just fun. And they're always erring on the side of like, this wouldn't be okay in normal society. That's how these movies work.
Yeah.
And that's definitely how this movie works, because it's one of those ones where it's like, it has that thing built into it where it's like, there's a counter, like the truth will be out there and then you have to deal with the repercussions from it. Like,
okay.
That's how these always work, right? Like, somebody is really obsessed with the girl and then she's going to find out at some point.
Right. But this time you said roles were reversed. So it's basically the same thing, but just a female's kind of doing the male part.
And I would say it's really funny when Jennifer Lawrence is on a beach naked doing wrestling moves and stuff, and things like that on somebody. Like, it was just so ridiculously funny. And so I do think it's making a bit of a comeback. I do wonder about the erotic thriller, though, because I've heard a lot of people talking about it. But I don't know that they're going to come back. I feel like it's too steep of a hill to climb.
And help me. I guess I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. What would an erotic thriller be? Are we talking
like Basic Instinct is like maybe the best example of one done really well. But then there was a lot of trashy ones.
I just watched one, actually, Obsessed, with Beyonce and Idris Elba. And Ali Larter was in it. That came out like 2017.
Okay, 50. So that's definitely like in an era where it's largely considered
dead. It was kind of good. It was there because I felt watching it, I'm like, man, why can't we bring this kind of, like, it was cheesy, but it wasn't. It had its moments where you were like, okay, really, we have to really do that bad acting. But you're like, we're there. But I forgot how good of a movie it was in a way. Ali Larter played her role as a good psychopath. She was definitely, I guess because I watch a lot of Law and Crime, the way her mind worked was good. And it wasn't like great, but she did something where I was like, man, if this chick was on me, I'd be like, you are crazy.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so I would love to see some stuff like that. Bring back all of that. Bring.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of throwing out the bathwater with the baby kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Or
reverse that. That's not okay. Yeah. Reverse that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of, we can't have any of this. And I feel like when you're sectioning off things that are primal, it's just, it's never going to last. Eventually, it's going to come back. I find it interesting. But this movie could be made today, I think, like easily, even though it's raunchy and stuff. I do think horror, for the most part, especially if it's low budget horror, it gets to fly under the radar. And especially if it has a low budget.
You could revamp this movie.
Yeah.
You could revamp it and tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, it's 17 years old, but I think you could change nothing and it could still be something you would find on Shudder or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. This was an IFC film, wasn't it?
Was it? I did not know that, but that makes sense that they would grab distribution on it.
I'm pretty sure this was an IFC film because I was shocked. I was like, this is IFC? Interesting. I actually like IFC films.
Yeah. I like a lot of them. I've noticed what they tend to do is, and very much to their moniker, they find independent films that are already out there, and then they grab distribution, and then they also use it to put on their channel,
but
right?
They do. But there's something about them. They do good, not great, but some decent good horror movies where I was like, okay, I'm interested. And then IFC, I kind of ended up liking IFC films.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a secret to say if you're doing your first film and you have a really low budget, horror is definitely a good way to go, because the nature of horror movies is, And I think any horror fan knows this. You have to go through like 100 to find a good one.
Right.
Unless you're like listening to other people who have similar taste to you. It's just really hard to find good ones. But it's one of those genres people are willing to like go through a lot of crap to find.
Absolutely.
A gem.
We're willing to watch that crap. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're willing to be like, let's sit down and watch Sheep.
Yeah, crazy. You know what's funny about it is like, I love comedies. Like, yeah. I really love comedies. I am not willing to sit through a bad comedy. It's so hard to sit through a movie that is inherently not funny that's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
But there's something about horror movies when they don't work can be just as delightful as ones that work.
Exactly.
Because like you can make fun of it.
Yeah, but that's what I said. It's like, if you're going to do something raunchy like this film, you got to be funny with it. I hope a lot of people agree. You have to throw people off guard.
Yeah.
You got to catch them where they were like, holy crap, I didn't, what? That just happened? And then everybody's like, yeah, that just happened. That's what we're watching right now, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's get into the synopsis of Black Sheep. Henry farms sheep with his father. His brother Angus is jealous of their connection. Angus kills Henry's pet sheep and wears its corpse to scare Henry right before they find out from the housekeeper that their father died in an accident. This causes Henry to have an irrational fear of sheep. A little note. There was a little note in this that I watched and I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And it was never a thing. You see Angus as a teenager.
Right.
And he's got this brace on his leg. And so I felt like they were setting up that he couldn't farm as well because of his leg somehow. And then it never comes into play.
About his leg. About
his leg is fine as an adult. It's like, what? Why did you even have that touch
and
in there?
The son. He scared the son so bad. You know what I mean? With just a sheep costume, you kind of later on find out some other stuff, but you're just like, that made sense, but it didn't. Cause I was like, oh, was that traumatizing? That's what,
I guess the combination of that happening with his father dying,
he
makes a connection with sheep being killers.
I guess. Somehow. And now he's omnivorophobia, I think it was called. Okay, so I'll be honest about this film. It was good. There was a lot of dialogue I didn't catch because it is doing a lot of that quiet, low, you know, where I feel like most films do. They're trying to get that scare factor out of you, which that film has a lot of jump factors for no reason. So
yeah, it should also be said this is a film from New Zealand.
Oh, yes.
This is a movie from New Zealand.
Yes.
And so occasionally they'd say something where I was like, what? And I'd have to back it up for a second just to get the dialogue.
And it would get quiet. And so then you're like, I don't understand. And then all of a sudden, like a sheep, you know, plows through somewhere. And you're like, oh, crap. Okay, well, I guess I'm not going to get my answer.
I did have a very hard time getting scared of this movie, but I didn't care because it was fun.
Yeah.
That's the secret sauce of this film, I feel like, is that it presents everything straightforward as you should be afraid of the sheep, which is what you want, even though it's not scary. Because when you're intentionally trying to go for complete schlockiness, it doesn't work. But if you're legitimately trying to make something scary and it doesn't work,
yeah,
that's just fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I think there's a part where they just walk around the corner and then like the music goes and you're like, and it's like a skull on the wall.
Yeah. Like, it's like, who's scared of a skull that's been there for decades?
And he walked around the corner. The other person saw, you don't think that they, okay, got it.
Yeah. That was super ridiculous to me. I just could not believe that. It's also like, what kind of deranged kid wears a corpse of the kid's pet sheep? It should be noted too. It's his pet sheep, right? Like, it's the one he loves.
They never come back to it.
They show him doing tricks with the sheep or something like that. So you can tell
He
loves the sheep, but it never comes back into play. It's just the thing that happens.
And it's weird. It's like the oldest son was like, he was a psychopath. Like, he's taking sheep while they're hurting him and just kind of killing them and wearing their skin and do whatever. And
doing
you're like
Buffalo Bill thing.
Yeah. But never comes out. You're like, oh, okay, guess he's not a psycho.
Henry returns to the farm 15 years later to sell his share to Angus, who is experimenting with the genetics of sheep in secret. Grant and experience, some environmentalist activists sneak onto the property to steal evidence of what Angus is doing. Grant steals a lamb that bites him and slowly causes him to become bloodthirsty. The lamb infects more sheep. So right away, you start to like get into the zone where you're like, okay, this is heightened. None of this is going to be realistic at all, because it's like, why do you have scientific experimentation like that on a farm? Like, it's so ridiculous. There's a whole laboratory
in the middle of nowhere, and you're testing it on sheep out of all things. Why a lab in the middle of this sheep farm? I didn't understand it. I was like,
it doesn't make sense.
None of it made sense. Like, the whole film doesn't make sense, and it does.
We find out later that he's combining human DNA into these sheep
to make the perfect sheep.
But why? Right. Like, that's what they never explain. And you see the sheep that's his big thing later that he's so proud of. And it's a different looking kind of sheep.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, this sheep was beautiful. I was kind of like, oh, that was a beautiful sheep. Why, though?
Yeah, why human DNA with it?
He mentioned it. He said something like, it wasn't like he was trying to raise an army. He was trying to make it so that, you know what? I can't even quote, because I don't remember what.
I honestly don't remember.
They say why.
Giving just a reason, but.
They say it in the lab when he's talking to the science chick. I can't remember her name, but he's talking to her and he says, oh, it's so we can modify them to do certain things. And it's like they want to train them to do things. Basically, they don't want sheep herders. The sheep can herd themselves almost.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's what I was kind of getting out of it, which still didn't make sense. doesn't make sense.
No.
I'm like, oh. So, and if it was stopping them from herding, that just only implicates that he couldn't herd when he was younger, but they still never brought up his
that
leg.
Is a really good point,
you
that
know
he couldn't herd sheep. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah,
A plus, dude. Thank you're exactly right. That had to have been the reason.
I'm on it. No, I for real was like, if Angus was the teenage brother that did the sheep thing, the covering,
because he's so different as an
adult. So different. Did he have a limb?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, like there's no brace, there's nothing.
But there
like,
was he limped at one point, but I think he like got injured. I'm pretty sure he got injured and then he was limping again. But they never indicated, oh, the limp came back because, you know, he used to wear
and it
a
very
brace.
Well, when you say he got injured, it very well could have been that his foot was turning into a hoof as we
that's
see later.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that. It is explained, but it's not very well explained.
Yeah, which is kind of how you want it a little
you
bit.
You kind of do, because you want to be confused in this film. You don't really want an understanding. Do
no.
you?
The more, you know what it is? It's like for Star Wars fans, when they start explaining the Force, it starts to fall apart because it was this mystical thing. And now you're like, there's these midichlorians. And there's also like, dude, we don't need that. We just need to know there's this
general
thing.
I just
want to
know that there's fantasy, magic.
Yeah. And I would say that about bad horror movies like this.
I want to know there's magic and that I can use it too, you know?
Like, quite frankly, I want to have the discussion we're having where we're like, why human DNA? Like, you don't actually want the answer to that. You just want to like know
we're
that
good.
It's there. Henry's friend Tucker shows up to give him a ride out of town, being blocked by a sheep that refuses to move. Experience steals Tucker's rifle and holds him up. Tucker tricks Experience into giving it back to him. They go to the farmhouse together and find a murdered farmer. The sheep that kills him turns on the trio. Tucker shoots it. They escape to the truck, but a sheep in the cab bites Tucker. At some point, the sheep winds up driving over a cliff as they leap out. So there is a lot to this paragraph. I think the first thing that sticks out to me here is that when they're in that cabin, they do a Shining montage because they have the sheep is trying to ram through the door.
Through, and then it comes through again. Dude, he popped that thing.
Yeah, it makes a hole in the door, right? And then the sheep pops its head through like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Yeah. And that was the first time of the movie I like lost it and started laughing really hard because I'm like, what a crazy homage to do
it
in this
was
movie.
Good. It, well, and then all three of them being trapped, homeboy having the omnivore. What's her name is... She's all about
Experience.
Experience. That is her name. Experience. We love Experience, but Experience is very
ditzy.
And Zen. Here's this candle we're gonna light. Like there's a lot of stuff
there's a
she
part
does.
We kind of glossed over Henry being afraid of sheep a little bit because when he pulls into the town in the car, they're surrounded by sheep and he's hyperventilating, right?
He's hyperventilating. The environmentalists have just stolen that
That lamb.
That lamb. I didn't know the lamb was in that vial. I thought it was a chemical. And then when it crawls on that guy's, Grant was his name.
Crawls up him and then bites him like a vampire.
Yeah, and freaking, and then he's pulling on his ear and he's like, oh my God, oh my God.
That's the other thing. That's the viscera in this is consistently, it's like a sheep will bite into somebody and then everything stretches like it's gum or something.
Yeah, everything. And I'm like, ugh. I'm watching this and I'm like, holy crap, this thing is pearly pulling out his ear. And so later on, like, Grant started just transforming. You're just like, what's happening? That's when you meet Experience. And then Experience is just where I would never want to be caught at the end of the world with.
Right, yeah.
She was, plant your roots in and you're a tree and you're gonna take your chakra. And it's like,
oh, she's like, take your feet chakra up into your stomach chakra. Like everything is body part / chakra.
Yeah. Chakra this, chakra that. So I like Experience, but that whole farmhouse scene, it was good. I did love the homage to The Shining. I liked it. He popped it and you're kind of waiting. You're like, you know, this thing's coming back. But really, you don't really know. But I love, let's be honest, those are puppet sheeps.
Yeah.
Someone has their 100%. Hand in there. You know, but it is so funny watching that sheep go crazy with its head dangling. And then you're just like, oh my God. What is happening? No.
When they get into the truck and there's a sheep somehow hidden in the cab of the truck. Like, how does that how do you not notice a giant sheep in a truck? Dude?
Did you notice? It very much gave me Jurassic Park, the
Velociraptors.
Yeah, the Velociraptor. He's like in the, oh my gosh, dude. Great.
I can't remember what it was, but there was some cartoon I watched where they did a playoff of the Velociraptor.
Yeah.
And it's like trying the door and the door is locked. And so it puts a newspaper under the door and pops something into the keyhole to drop the key and then pulls a newspaper out and unlocks it.
And this is that movie. You're expecting something like that from the sheep. You're just like, okay.
The sheep. Okay. So I don't remember how, but somehow Tucker gets out of the cab into the back with Experience and Henry. And then the sheep is driving the car.
For like 2 seconds.
Right off the cliff.
And I love that the sheep noticed something. It knows it's going off the cliff because it baas the whole time. Like, you shouldn't even be recognizing it. You're driving. Well, and I remember Tucker gets bit on his foot. And so he's, you know, fighting the thing and he kicks it. And somehow he hands homeboy has gone, then he crawls out the window. I love that the car was moving oh so normally, as if they were driving normal, but knowing he has almost both hands off the wheel fighting a sheep while driving with two people on the back. Like, okay, this is happening. Then the sheep is driving and then it goes off the cliff.
By the way, I love the way that they show the truck being destroyed too, because typically you would have a truck go down a hill, and then there would be like a fireball and then another fireball and then an explosion at the bottom.
You don't see the sheep.
But what they do is they have it go off the cliff. And I figured they just like budgeted, we're just going to push this truck off and see what happens. And so it almost separates like the flatbed from the cab as it falls down. And they don't do a giant explosion at the bottom. But I was just like, I like this, dude. You never see that in a movie where they actually show what a truck would do when it gets pushed
off. And the way the truck did it, the way it did the accordion, I was like, whoa, that was actually real in that aspect. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say the same thing. Like, it was cool to watch an accordion.
Yeah, it's like a thing I've never seen in a movie before. And I can't imagine with this budget they did that on purpose. I think they just shoved it off in neutral and with said, the dummy.
Here we go.
And they were like, we're just going to film it and whatever happens, happens. And I like that more because it was really interesting to watch. It was almost like you went with your friends and shoved a truck down a hill to
watch it. That's a good analysis because I for real saw that and I was like, interesting. By the way, folks, I don't think there was any. No, there's one.
There is. We'll
there's
get back
one.
There's one that they so clearly did not
need to.
Well, I like that they did it. We'll get back to it.
We'll get
back to it. Angus comes across Grant, who bites his hand. Henry, Experience, and Tucker go to the laboratory. Tucker's foot is turned into a sheep hoof, and the Scientist straps him down to study him. Henry and Experience find more evidence of Angus's misdeeds. He returns to the lab and corners them in an awful pit as they're surrounded by bloodthirsty sheep. They fall in and escape through a tunnel. They come out only to be chased by Grant. They defeat him by getting on the other side of a gate. So we should talk about Grant here really quick. So Grant basically becomes a bipedal sheep minotaur almost. Like,
oh, that's a good one. Yeah, because we were talking outside and we were saying, oh, were sheep and like a werewolf sheep. But I like the sheep minotaur. Yeah. I like that. He's a mini sheep. And he's shaving. He's shearing himself. That's how they
call
him.
That's right. That's right.
They're like, do you hear that? This freaking Grant, the Minotaur sheep, is shearing himself. And the guy goes, it sounds like shears. Yeah, go check it out. And then they do. And then Grant stands up and he's this huge sheep standing on 2 feet would look like boots with the fur. Yeah. So good.
And so why... if you're combining human DNA and sheep DNA, does it cause this giant bipedal creature that's bigger than a human and super jacked? Like, that was just like, why is this happening? Like, we saw it came from a bite of a lamb that was like super small and could bite because you didn't expect it, you know?
Yeah. And then, well, and didn't the small sheep bit another sheep, which caused it to go. Cause it to affect the area.
And the other sheep, they never change. They just are bloodthirsty.
They're just bloodthirsty. And then some sheep aren't, and some sheep are. Like I said, you're not really looking to understand this movie. You just know that you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
And so Grant, though, that part, I want to know, he does not like Henry. Henry gets blown back by this beast man 10 times. Whop! Throws him, hits him into a wall.
And I think there was an element of Grant probably having a crush on Experience.
Exactly, which is why every time something happened, he was trying to fight Henry.
Because she says something like, you ate meat, didn't you, Grant? Was it organic? Yeah. Was organic. It free range? Like-
yeah. Also, the arguments in this, no sense. They will fight about something random while being chased, and you're just kind of like, okay, what? No, run. Why are you fighting about who ate meat or not?
It's also interesting because you've got the two goofy environmentalist characters. So I'm like, okay, so this is like a send-off of environmentalism. Yeah. So I was ready for that. But then they're also making fun of the genetic stuff and the scientists. And I'm like, oh, this is almost South Park in that it refuses to take a point of view. It's just making fun of both extreme points of view.
Exactly. It was definitely making points of the view. You got to both sides of the points of view, and then you got to see a lot. I will say I like the doctor lady. There was something interesting about her, but most doctor ladies like that in these raunchy films, I feel like, are meant to be in it because they're funny. She brought a little something, even when just covering the foot and be like, oh, nothing. And she just has that accent. I enjoyed that character, even though she meets her demise.
She's definitely a kind of stock mad scientist.
Yeah. When they capture Tucker and she takes that needle and hits it in his head, I was like, okay, what's happening? And then he starts changing back. I thought that was funny.
Have you seen Army of Darkness?
Yes, it's been a while, but...
So they do the kind of thing where it's like shaking and then he turns from a sheep into a man, right? And it's just like, it's so corny, but I loved it. It was ridiculous.
The shake was great. I had this
moment where I was like, you're putting a vaccine out? Bummer, because I just wanted, I wanted it to be hopeless once somebody turned. But then I realized like, oh, that's not the movie we're watching. It's just goofy. So of course you can naturally just produce this giant vaccine.
And everybody's going to be better.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is like, I don't know what an offal pit is, but it's super weird that they fall in it and then the sheep start falling in it to chase them down.
I thought there was
going to
be something crazy down there because I thought it said dogs.
Yeah, it said offal pit, keep dogs away or something
Something like that. And like, they fall in the pit.
And it had a little gate around it, but somehow the sheep get around the gate.
Yeah, they like get in and then, and then they find themselves crawling through this space. It's insane. And then like, he throws that lighter on that sheep in the tunnel and it just sparks into flame and you're like, oh, okay, that's happening.
I do like that the sheep can just be killed. You know, like we thought this was like kind of a werewolf thing going in.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that more when we get to the end. But yeah. No, there's the sheep can just be killed in normal ways, which makes it more fun because there's all these different ways that they kill them.
Exactly.
Tucker fully transforms into a sheep monster. The scientist makes a vaccine and transforms him back. She leaves to give Angus a shot, but is taken down by sheep. Angus gives a presentation to businessmen from around the world, showing off his prized genetically engineered sheep. Hundreds of sheep descend upon the gathering and either kill or infect everyone but Angus, who slips back to the farmhouse with the sheep. Scientist meets her quick end, like no surprise
she's
there.
She's gone.
Yeah, in the exact same location that the environmentalists were hiding right after they stole the lamb. Just like
stuck in the mud.
This is a little location you had.
Yeah.
You doubled up on the day.
Exactly. This is it. Budget. We're good. We don't need to use this spot anymore.
I was fascinated by the idea that all these people come from around the world to sit on some folding chairs at a farm.
Yeah. Yeah, and and I love that there was so many set up, but there was literally like 10 people. It looked like this huge thing. And here again, people, it's literally like, it's just random stuff. And at this point, Angus is like changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he been bit, so he's changing.
Not totally visibly yet.
Yeah, right? He's just kind of sweating. He's kind of got the dark tone coming along.
Very much like a zombie thing at this point. Yeah,
but people don't realize it. And then they do the revealing of that sheep. People are clapping. And don't get me wrong, people, this sheep was really pretty. I actually was like, oh, that's actually like a really well-groomed sheep. But it just looked like a really well-groomed sheep.
I do like that they do the will they or won't they with Angus and the sheep. There's some tension going on between the sheep and him.
Especially that part in the room where he's hugging it. Yeah. I was like,
he's talking very tenderly to it. Like, yeah, it'll be okay.
It's fine. It's okay. He's like caressing it.
They go to some weird, weird places.
I like that though.
At some point, Experience and Henry wind up meeting up with the housekeeper at the house, and Angus has shut himself in with the sheep, and they go to talk to him, and he's like horrified because he realizes that Angus has some kind of like deep connection with the sheep. And what's really funny about it is like he's saying it's got human DNA, but before that he alludes to like it's got our family's DNA.
Yeah,
and that makes it even weirder.
Yeah, because then it's like, whoa, what is happening here in this film? What are you guys doing?
It's enough to have a human with a sheep. I expected some sort of joke about that, and you realize very quickly it's going to be Angus.
Yeah,
but, and this is where it gets weird. It's also apparently related to him on top of it.
Yeah, so you're just kind of like looking at Angus like, so what were the experiments for then? What were you? Who are you? What are you? We have questions. We're concerned.
I have concerned questions, yeah.
Yeah, and at this point, I don't even know if I want to know the questions. I think you need to just figure out your life if you want help. We are here for you.
This is a movie that absolutely does not happen if everybody gets therapy, right? Like,
no.
Henry does not sit there and like fear sheep irrationally and come back to sell the part of the farm. Angus works out all of his issues and none of this happens. And like Experience could use a little bit of therapy as well.
And it's like, did Angus work out his issues? Because clearly that laboratory in sheep loving and family genes, you need a little help.
So Henry realizes that Angus was bitten by a sheep, but also realizes that he was bitten by sheep. I assume when they're in that tunnel, because there's a sheep that's chasing him. And
he got bit by the foot.
Yeah, it was too close for him to have.
No, he showed his arm.
Yeah, but we don't see him for parts. I don't know. It's complicated.
It is. Again, everybody, this movie was very like, you could tell there was just scenes where you're just like, wait, I keep saying that because it's like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah. And I think they're playing on like, you don't know if people get bitten because the sheep are just
constantly. Exactly. So
it's kind of like in a zombie movie when you realize somebody was bitten and you're like, uh-oh. But because they were so close, you just sort of accept it. It's like that kind of trope. Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of zombie tropes and werewolf tropes in this.
Yes, for sure. Very.
So Henry takes off after Angus, after he realizes he was bitten by the sheep, Angus becomes a sheep monster completely. Tucker finds them and gives them the vaccine after Henry's dog keeps Angus at bay. And then he's badly injured by an airplane because they have like a little biplane on the farm. And of course, you see the propeller and you're immediately like, somebody's going through that propeller.
Yeah, right? And no one's flying. At first, I was like, didn't the helicopter just randomly start? Did someone?
No, he does the thing where he pushes the propeller on the side.
And then it starts. Okay. Yeah, that, by the way, that was the longest transformation scene I've ever seen in my entire freaking life.
That's the thing, too, is this movie, and I feel like most zombie movies are like this, like wildly inconsistent, because Grant turns into a sheep monster completely in what seems like a matter of hours, but Angus is on almost a full day before he finally transforms.
And his transformation, now Grant's took all day, that one I didn't mind, it was Angus's. Oh, switch to this screen. Okay. And then he comes back. My favorite was like his hand was normal and then it cuts out of screen and you hear it like growing out. Yeah,
they can't afford to do that.
And then like that serious comeback of like, my hand, you know, I loved it, but I was also like, oh my gosh, his whole transformation and the noises. I was like, I can't do this. Like, hurry up and transform. So
that's one of those things I want to note. For where they're grabbing influence from is An American Werewolf in London, because that was the first movie I feel like where they showed a transformation from man to beast where it's painful. Like Rick Baker has it so that you see him stretching out and you hear all the bones cracking and all of that kind of stuff. And they're like, we can't afford that, but we can afford the sound effects, which actually work because you hear it and you like, you can imagine.
I mean, we could clearly see they were putting a glove on him though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
That's what I mean. He's, I'm like, they're putting a glove on him. And then he realizes the hand.
But I will say it's for working with a budget, it's better to throw in those sound effects and have at least put it in your mind's eye rather than just like cut back to him and he's
and a then sheep he's monster. He's a whole sheep. I think the length of it, it could be a problem for me, but when they show it and how it's happening, it's funny because I'm like dying the whole time because I'm like, nah, Angus, that's what you gotta get. But it's also so funny, just the length of his trip. And he's like just going through all these things. And for me, I love pointing out that, you know, that was budgeted and not in a bad way. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. That's where the commercials really serve this, was because we could make fun of it and talk about it during the little short commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And then you're right back in the movie. And I was like, you know, really paying attention to the movie to talk about it. But normally I don't like commercials in movies, but this is the kind of movie that actually
you need a break.
If you're watching it with somebody, it's a really good one to have commercial breaks.
Absolutely.
On because you don't have to interrupt the movie making fun of it.
Yeah.
The plane propeller comes forward when Angus is waylaid by the dog, because they show at the beginning that the dog will bark and then the sheep feel compelled to sit and stay, basically.
If you guys didn't know, there was a dog in this film, by the way.
Yeah, it doesn't kind of show up very much except for at the beginning and then at the end.
But he's kind of important in a way.
Yes, because that dog will have the final scene. So heading towards that, Tucker's got the vaccine with like this bladder thing that he can put into sheep's mouths. And so they transform all the people from sheep monsters back into people. They get Angus, even though he looks like he's going to die. And so he's all messed up, but he's normal again. He just got
chopped up by the airplane propeller.
And they gather up all the killer sheep with the dog now that they know it'll listen to the dog.
Yeah, because the dog is a sheep herder, so he herded all the sheep into one barn.
And then Angus shows up all bloody and like goes in the sheep and he's like, bite me, because he wants to turn into a sheep monster again. And then it like bites off because for some reason he's naked in the shot.
God, that was horrible. That was the worst.
And they do the stretchy thing with that too.
They did the stretchy thing and I was like, what, in the mozzarella string pull? That's what it looked like. I was like, absolutely. Oh my gosh. That looks crazy. These films, I expect a little bit of a sexual. There was not a lot of it.
No.
Which
they could have gone hard on that.
They really could have. Yeah. And honestly, It was refreshing and also a little disappointing. But then at the end, I was like, all right. And that happened. I wasn't ready. And no. I love that I wasn't ready.
I did not expect that to happen.
It was good.
And so they eat him up. And then they've had a bunch of sheep fart jokes all throughout this movie.
Right.
But they finally do this thing where, and I love this, he takes a Zippo and lights it. And he goes to throw it in the barn to kill all the sheep. And then you hear the sound of a sheep farting. You could tell this is a budget move. They don't even attempt to show the barn explode or anything like that. You just see an explosion that covers the entire frame. Yeah. So they clearly just like bought a frame from stock footage of an explosion in the midpoint. And then they just walk away, dude. There's no evidence that that happened.
They're like, yep, that was it. All right, sheep are gone. We did it.
It was so ridiculous.
It was really ridiculous, that explosion. And it was funny because for me in a film, or even in if it was real life, I'm running from an explosion. They weren't far enough from that explosion. And you notice he threw it in like 2 seconds. They go to screen and then back and they're like, run. It's like, wait, hold on, dude. That's not enough time.
Yeah, exactly. So this ends with the sheepdog is all by itself, and then it starts bleeding, which is just like, okay, so that's your little final frame.
Lets out the bleat, and you're like, okay.
So I think the confusion of us thinking this might have been a sheep turned to werewolf movie is because the cover shows a sheep howling at the moon, and it's...
Yeah.
It shows a dog that's like part sheep howling at the moon, which is this dog that doesn't actually transform in at the all. Movie.
But... It's not even, it's hardly in the movie. I think that dog was in maybe 5 scenes. It's like at the beginning, and then there was a part.
And it's at the end, basically.
And then there's a part where Tucker's like, get out of here, and the dog runs off. Lots of randomness. I loved it. I liked the ending. There was no FBI. There wasn't anything.
New Zealand. Yeah. What would the FBI be doing?
Or not even FBI. There was no nothing. No cops. Nothing that said, hey, these people need saving. They basically did the saving on their own. And so I dig that. I was like, oh, you need no help? I feel ya.
Yeah, and you don't have to budget out those uniforms or a cop car or anything like that.
Absolutely. And low budget, I'm always going to look for that. I'm not looking for a great movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally know.
I'm looking
for... You meet it on its terms.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You want to know. And if it was your kind of movie, it was your kind of movie. And if it wasn't, it wasn't. If this isn't your kind of movie, though, I still say check it out. It's a hidden gem. I'll be honest. It is one of those hidden gems where it wasn't great. And to me, I think a gem, if it's hidden and it's a secret and you get to kind of find that gem and enjoy it, I think that you will really, I think it's something to enjoy.
This is a perfect movie to watch with somebody who enjoys bad things.
Yes.
And make fun of it. It's a perfect one of those movies.
Yeah.
And I love those movies when I find them. And often they're too cheesy or they're trying for cheesy. And so it doesn't really work. There's something that doesn't quite gel with it. Its laughs mostly hit. There are unintentional laughs, clearly, that also hit, you know. I really, really enjoyed this. Is a capital F film? No, it's not. Like,
no.
Dude, it's called Black Sheep, and it's about genetically engineered sheep that murder people. It's asking you to be afraid of sheep the entire movie.
I'll be honest. I caught myself afraid.
Yeah, I think I burned out the horror part of my brain a long time ago that got scared, but I still enjoy horror movies quite a bit.
Absolutely. I agree. So this was a great movie, though.
So one thing I noted was the special effects on this. They had just worked on The Host, the Bong Joon-ho movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
Which, that movie got big hits.
It did. That was one of those little tiny budget movies that just like blew up and nobody expected.
And I'm still trying to make it through it. I watched half of it and I was like, I might have to go home and watch that again. Check it out.
Bong Joon-ho is one of my favorite directors right now. I love how smart his movies are, but also... He tends to do them on a budget or do genre.
Yeah.
You know, like I enjoy that for the same reason I like Jordan Peele, right? Like,
exactly.
Get Out was great, done on a low budget, has something smart to say, but then also is firmly rooted in like a kind of horror thriller thing.
Oh, yeah. He did good.
Yeah. It's like if you can take genre and have a good statement with it, I'm always a fan of that. But
absolutely.
I just found it interesting that they worked on this too, because it's not like South Korea is that close to New Zealand. So apparently they're just hopping around the globe.
Actually refreshing to know, because then that means that you could get something out of it like this. And let's say they did want to do something big with this film and come back out with it. I know we talked last time about Circle and we were like, I won't make a second. Black Sheep, if...
It's a horror movie, so it lends itself to sequels.
It definitely
already
did. If you can make it a little bit better and more of a plot where we can actually understand a little bit more and make it funny and raunchy, and I would like a little more gruesome, you know, a little more extra stuff. You already know how I feel about creature films. So if we could throw a little extra.
Get a little bit more of a budget, but not too much.
Raunchy is the, I want it low budget, raunchy. I like
it. See if you can hire Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Have him fight killer sheep. That would be great.
Just throw in a bunch of people like we have been in all movies. Just throw in a huge cast of people. We'll see how it goes and we'll go from there.
Cosmic Void was created by Alex Small and Jeremiah Perez. It's hosted by Alex Small and Xavi Cousins. Produced by Aaron Donaldson and Alex Small. The theme song Duke of New York A No. 1 was written by Dub Campbell and Greg Vivrette. The song is performed by Tonight We Ride. A Cosmic Void is a Redwood Sound Labs production.
Okay, kiddo, I lost my library of sound, so I need you to do some sound effects for me.
I don't want to do this, Dad.
Look, I'm just trying to put food on the table, but if you don't want to help,
all right.
Hear Biggs chronicle a galaxy of genres. Listen to the deconstruction of film on A Cosmic Void. Charles is a Purple Heart recipient and cinematographer. Aaron is a professor and critical cultural scholar. Together they explore the narrative, effective, and production politics of war cinema on Real War Project. That's R-E-E-L, War Project. Finally, a podcast that's dedicated to talking about your favorite sports movies. Whether you want to hear a breakdown of the plot, arguments about who's the MVP of the film, or crit and lit about it, you'll find it all on Fields of Glory. Listen to the show that will help you have a better life with your beloved pets. It handles topics like proper food, nutrition, positive reinforcement training, and more. Certified dog behavior consultant Charlotte Peltz welcomes your pet concerns and questions in the podcast, Living with Your Dog. Zach and Matt are two horror enthusiasts of varying experience discussing horror movies through the scope of content, context, and comedy. They'll hit on the good ones and the classics, but they're really excited for the bad ones. Listen to Watch No Evil. You can find all of Redwood Sound Lab shows at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts.